starting at verse 38 of Luke 10. Now as they, by which we mean Jesus and his disciples, went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. I tell you, I feel so much for Martha in this story. I was looking up like YouTube clips and different things of this story, and Martha always comes across as like this naggy, ungrateful, older sister who's got all the responsibilities of the world on her. And Mary comes off as this little twit. I just, don't you feel for her? I mean, this whole group of people, 13 of them at least, have embarked upon their home. And if you remember back at the beginning of Luke 10, remember Jesus' instructions when he sent out his 70 disciples on kind of their trial run of being him. And what did he say? Go to a house. If they welcome you in, stay there for as long as you're going to be in that town. Well, this is what's happened. Jesus and his disciples have gone to this town. Martha has welcomed them into her home, and now they're there. Where are they all going to sleep? What are they all going to eat? Did she have enough food in the house? Were there dishes that needed to be cleaned? What on earth was she going to do to be able to provide for all of these people? And there's her sister, the other person in the house who should be helping. And what is she doing? Nothing. She didn't go to the grocery store to pick up more food. She didn't pick up a dish towel and start doing the dishes. She didn't start chopping vegetables or cleaning anything. She just went and she joined Jesus' disciples where she's not supposed to be, and she sat down to listen. I don't think I'm the only one that doesn't like Mary in this. And you know what? I don't totally like Jesus in this story either. Why? Because he took Mary's side. Didn't he know how hard Martha was working? I mean, let's be honest. It was a day and age when men didn't have a clue what went on with the housework. So I kind of blame it on him for being a man, that he didn't know that all this was going on. At the surface, that's how I read this story. At the surface, that's how a lot of women especially read this story. But this story isn't just for women. This story is for all of us. This story isn't a denouncement of service and of doing and of feeding your guests. This story isn't about a whole bunch of men sitting over there doing nothing while the women do the work. That's not what this is about. And I think, actually, when I think about who Jesus was, he probably jumped in and helped all the time. I think there's other things going on in this story. Because again, if it's scripture, if it reveals who God is, then how we understand the story must be consistent with all the ways God has revealed himself from beginning to end of scripture, not just taking this one passage and pulling it out. So if we go back into it, they entered a village, Martha welcomed them in. Interesting, in this story, there's other spots in the Gospels where Mary and Martha are mentioned, and we find out in other Gospels that they're related to a man named Lazarus, and we kind of assume that it's Lazarus's house that his sisters live in and take care of. But in this story, the way that Luke tells it, he's not there. This is Martha's house, which right off the bat is kind of extraordinary. Here is Jesus going to a home owned by a woman. He went in not worried about the fact that he and all of his male disciples were going into a home by a woman. Jesus didn't care so much about all the social rules and customs. He cared about people. And he went to Martha's house where Martha was set to take care of him. Where when he went, in Luke 10, we're told that whatever house you enter, Jesus instructed his disciples, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. Well, it seems to me that Jesus showed up on her doorstep and probably said, peace to this house. And that peace rested upon Martha, and she welcomed him in. So right off, Martha is the hostess. She is the one who welcomed Jesus, who welcomed him and his disciples. That's a good thing. That's a thing to be applauded. Because of Martha's welcome, Jesus and his disciples stayed for a time in the village, and the whole village was better for it. So that's number one. And then we're told that Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. That's the only thing we're told about Mary. We're not told that she was lazy. We're not told that she was a teenager who was somehow just blind to all the mess of the house. We're not told that she was any of the things we might put on her. All we know is that she was Martha's sister and she was sitting at Jesus' feet. And I think the reason that's all we know is because this is not a story about Mary. This is a story about Martha. And Mary's kind of there as a foil to Martha, but this is a story about Martha. And that, I think, gets to the heart of what Jesus' issue is. Mary's at the feet of Jesus, and what are we told about Martha? We're not told, hey, Martha's doing all these wonderful things. We're told that Martha is distracted by her many tasks. You see, I don't think the issue here was that Martha was doing all the things that a proper hostess should do. I don't think the issue here was that Martha was doing, that Martha was serving. After all, if Jesus has an issue with somebody doing those things, then in the passage we read last week, do you remember that? Jesus was confronted by a lawyer who said, what are the greatest commandments? And when he was told, love your neighbor as yourself, he said, well, exactly who's my neighbor? And so then Jesus tells him the whole story of the Good Samaritan. And how does he end it? He says, go and do likewise. Go and serve. Go and love with your hands and feet. Go and do. So Jesus isn't in one breath going to say doing is good and then in the next breath say doing isn't good. We have to take all of Scripture all together. So I don't think Jesus is saying to Martha here, doing is bad. You shouldn't be cooking. You shouldn't be cleaning. You shouldn't be going to the market to get the groceries. Jesus wanted to eat. His disciples wanted to eat. There were rules of hospitality that Martha was following. I don't think that the issue here is what she was doing. I think the key here is that she was distracted. We're told in verse 40, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And so she came to him and asked. Now, this is where we get the clue of what it was she was distracted by. Was she distracted by her to-do list and all the things she had to do? No, she was distracted by Mary because she knew she was doing the right thing and Mary was not. And she was angry and she was frustrated. I can picture her banging away on her pots and pans, being extra. Have you ever done this? Been extra loud in hopes that somebody out there would listen and get a clue and actually step in and help you? Maybe I'm the only passive-aggressive one in the room, but I'm good at that. It's a, try and confront without actually having to confront. I picture Martha doing that, doing the dishes really loudly, chopping vegetables really loudly. I imagine if she was in the day and age when they had electricity, her hitting the blender even when she didn't need it, so it would be really loud to draw Mary's attention. And when Mary ignores her completely, when Mary continues to be just at the feet of Jesus, Martha, in a fit, goes to Jesus and says, can't you see that I'm doing it all? And she's wrong. She's not helping. She's not in the right place. She's not doing what she's supposed to do. And she fully expects Jesus to say, you're right. Good for you, Martha. Mary, get off your butt and go help. And Jesus doesn't do that, does he? You see, I don't think the issue was what Martha was doing. I think the issue was Martha's distraction. I think the issue was that Martha was overly concerned with what her sister should have been doing. And I think there's something in this for all of us, not just as siblings, but as the church as a whole. See, sometimes we know our role, we know our responsibility so completely, so absolutely, that we start to think it's everybody's role. It's everybody's responsibility. We think, well, I'm called to this just as a good Christian person. And so why isn't that person also doing it? Or why isn't that person also doing it? Or that person also doing that? I do my turn at coffee. Why doesn't everybody do their turn at coffee? I lead a small group. Why doesn't everybody lead a small group? I serve on the board or in some governance position. Why doesn't everybody take their turn on that? I serve in the nursery. Why doesn't everybody serve in the nursery? And we start to think that our call is everybody's call, which is completely, absolutely contrary to the way Jesus set up the church. Over and over and over again, Jesus, and then Paul especially, Paul uses the analogy of a body. He says, hey, the church is this body. It's got all these different parts. It's got hands and arms and legs and belly buttons and heads and hair and ears and eyes and feet and toes and all these different parts. And the church, the body, is at its best when all those different parts are all operating at its best. What good would a body be, Paul asks us, if the eye were to say to the ear, you should be an eye? What good would a body be if all it was a great big giant ear? What good would a body be if all it was arms and nothing else? Martha was distracted by her assumptions that she knew exactly where Mary should be and what Mary should be doing. Martha was distracted by her assumption that her call was Mary's call. And Jesus wasn't having any of it. Because Mary was distracted in this way, Martha was distracted in this way, her service stopped being service for God. It became the kind of service that is done begrudgingly, angrily, passive-aggressively, without a heart, without a sense of love behind it. Think back to the Good Samaritan again. And he didn't just do the things that the guy on the side of the road needed him to do. He embraced him. He held it. He loved him physically. He loved him with his hands and his feet and everything that he did, with his money, with his very being. He loved him. Our service should always be done out of that perspective, not just as this sense of obligation or of duty that we have to do it, but it is an act of love towards God. And nobody has ever written so well about this as a guy named Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a monk in the 1660s, so a very, very long time ago. And he wasn't one of those high and mighty monks who did a lot of writing and was well known all the world throughout. He was in Paris, was where his monastery was, and his main job was working in the kitchen. He spent a lot of time peeling potatoes and washing dishes and scrubbing pots and probably collecting herbs out of the garden and whatever else that he was doing. He didn't do any of the things that get applause or recognition or get promotions or any of those kind of things. His work was all the mundane and boring things, all the things that don't look the least little bit like they are for God. They're the down-to-earth, deep in the dirt and the dust and the mud tasks that just have to be done so that people can survive. He wrote this in the Practice of the Presence of God. We invent means and methods of coming at God's love. We learn rules and set up devices to remind us of that love. And it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet it might be so simple. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of Him, for the love of God? I want to read that again. Wait, we'll go back to the first slide. We invent means and methods of coming at God's love. We learn rules and set up devices to remind us of that love. And it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet, it might be so simple. Is it not quicker and easier just to do our common business, the mundane tasks, the boring tasks, the in the dirt and the mud and the dust tasks, wholly for the love of Him? Brother Lawrence is known for spending his entire life in this monastery practicing the presence of God in the most boring, mundane things. He wasn't practicing the presence of God in a worship service where the music just went to the heavens and there were professional musicians leading all of this and the chants of the monks flowed through the rafters. He wasn't talking about practicing the presence of God where the preacher was on the street corner or where they were ministering to the people who were dying in the streets from their poverty and all the disease that went with it. He stood at the kitchen sink and scrubbed away at pots and sought God in that. This is so important. There's an article about him in Christianity Today where the author wrote, "Together, God and Brother Lawrence cooked meals, ran errands, scrubbed pots, and endured the scorn of the world." What I love about him is that he's such a contrast to the picture of Martha. See, the issue isn't what she was doing. The issue isn't that she was cooking and cleaning and chopping vegetables and trying to be the perfect hostess. I don't think that was the issue. I think that was applaudable. I think that was what she was called to. That was what was expected of her. The issue is that it wasn't for God. It wasn't for Jesus and his disciples. Because if it had been, there would have been a holiness about that service that was missing for Martha. She was so distracted by Mary not doing her part and by all the things that had to get done and all of these people waiting for food out there, and she wanted to make sure it was good food and a big food and all of these kind of things, that she took her eyes off the God that she was serving in the midst of it. See, I think for most of us, most of our lives are lived in the mundane, are lived in the day-to-day, in the dirt and the mud and the dust of real life, aren't they? Most of our lives, when we're going to work or we're riding the subway or we're on a bus or we're doing our grocery shopping or our laundry or whatever it is that we find ourselves doing, that's the majority of our life is spent doing those things. And then we say, well, we better pull out some time to focus on God. Maybe we pull out some time every morning or every evening to read the Bible or do some devotions. Or maybe we say, you know what, Sunday when I go to church, that's my time for God, and I'll do that. And the rest of the week or the rest of our day, we're distracted by all the many mundane things. And because we're not approaching them the way that Brother Lawrence approached them, because we're sitting there and we're focused on all the things that we have to do and maybe looking around and going, why isn't that person doing their job? Do you ever think that way about people you work with? Maybe you're just frustrated by the person in front of you in line at the grocery store because you went to pick up a few things and they took their 18 items into the 16 items or less line. I don't know what it is, but all those mundane things, we can get frustrated and we can get angry and we can get impatient and we can lose sight and we become Martha. Not because we're doing mundane things, we become Martha because we lose sight of God in it. Can you imagine if we could just learn that one lesson that Brother Lawrence learned? Now, let me caution you, it took him years to get there. So don't think this is, oh, I'll just wake up tomorrow and make up my mind and do it. It's hard. But can you imagine what it would be like if you went through every moment of every day conscious of God being in it with you, and that everything you did in every single moment was an act of service for God? How would things change? See, I think sometimes when we are taking our complaints to God, I think sometimes he might say to us, like he said to Martha, well, we don't have these words, but I feel like this is underlying his words. Martha, how about for a moment you focus on you? You focus on why you're serving. You focus on what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because Mary is exactly where she is called to be, doing exactly what she is supposed to be doing in this moment at this time. Mary has chosen the better part. He's not saying what Martha's doing isn't valuable. He's not saying that Martha should have also stopped what she was doing and sat down and listened. They all would have gone hungry. But for Mary, Mary has chosen the better part. For Mary, she has listened to what it is that God wants of her at that time, in that place. And And Martha has not done that. For some of us, the call in the moment is like what was said to the lawyer after the story of the Good Samaritan, go and do likewise. For others, the call is like to Mary, sit at Jesus' feet and listen and learn and be still for a moment. Ecclesiastes 3 has these famous words, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the writer goes on. And I would add a time to cook, do the dishes, serve your guests, and a time to stop and listen and learn. So how on earth do we know what time is now? I think we know because we stop and we listen and we learn, and God has something to say to us in the midst of it. And sometimes he says, go and do. And sometimes he says, stay here for a bit. I can't tell you what God is saying to you. You know that by taking that time. Now, we gather together and we speak into each other's lives and we ask each other to pray for us and reflect with us, because sometimes we aren't able to hear what it is that God's saying to us very well. But ultimately, I trust that you are where God has called and placed you to be. And if you need me to support you in that and encourage you in that, I am honored to do that. But God, help me from becoming the Martha who says, because you're not doing what I'm doing, you're wrong and you need to be disciplined by God. God, help any of us who put ourselves in that position of Martha, because Jesus was really clear in his rebuke of that. There's a song written by a woman named Andrea Saad, and it's titled Lament. It's a song that identifies that sometimes our busyness doing isn't so much rooted in serving as it is in trying to get God to notice us, to convince God of our worth. Because I think sometimes that's what's happening as well in this story, is that Martha wasn't just distracted by Mary. But why did she take Mary to Jesus? I think Martha was desperately needing some validation from Jesus. She was needing Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You are great, because Martha wasn't sure that she had that worth in herself. Jesus didn't feed into that because it was comparative. And what I love about this song by Andrea Saad, which we're going to play for you in just a moment, is that it's a song that reminds us that we don't have to convince God of our worth. That we don't have to chase after God to get him to notice us. That we don't have to yell out at him or draw his attention to the people who aren't doing it our way. That God pursues and chases us. That God longs to be known by us. That God values and loves Martha in her doing and Mary in her listening and discerning. And the real question for us is what's our posture in whatever we are called to? If we're standing scrubbing pots and peeling potatoes, it's the same posture is if we're writing great essays on theology and God's love. It's all one and the same. It's the heart of service. It's the heart that is the love of God that comes out of that. I think this is a song that reminds us that first we stop, listen, and learn from Jesus, and only then do we do for Jesus. And so I'm going to ask Wei Wei to play the song for us, and then we'll go into a time of prayer.